I see a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our Friday evening service. Let's sing hymn 344. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. A pure rod ever will be tied, a shelter in the time of storm. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The shade my day defends, my night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no fears of fright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. O Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, shelter in the time of storm. We give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ that this evening we are able to gather here for this online service. So before we proceed to the words of encouragement, let us all kneel down to pray to ask our Lord Jesus Christ to guide and lead us in our service this evening. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. First and foremost, we give all the glory, praise and glory to our Lord God in heaven, that this evening, on the beginning of the Sabbath, all of us are able to gather for this online service. And we also send greetings of peace to all our ministers, our brothers and sisters, friends and relatives. We give thanks to our Lord that once again we are able to have this service together to learn the Word of God together. This evening, the topic for our mutual encouragement is discern the timing, examine ourselves. First and foremost, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Gospel according to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 from verses 54 to 57. Luke chapter 12, verses 54 to 57. Verse 54. In the name of Jesus, I read. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be a scorching heat,' and it happens." 56. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Verse 57. And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? So here, our Lord Jesus tells us, as believers of Jesus, because of our faith, we actually live in two different worlds. One, we live in a material world. And within the material world, there are its laws, its orders. Just like in verse 54, where we can see the cloud rising in the west, as well as there is a shower that is coming. At the same time, in verse 55, our Lord also gives us another example. That is, we see the south wind blowing and the scorching heat. That is, a hot weather is approaching. So based upon this, we are able to forecast the weather. And then in verse 56, but here our Lord Jesus tells us that we have to transcend beyond this material world. That even though we may know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but more importantly, we are also to interpret the present time. So Jesus tells about the time. So this perspective of time is from a spiritual angle. And if we are able to discern the time well, then in verse 57 tells us, and why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Then we would be able to judge. Like right now, presently with the present COVID-19 pandemic, the scientists have been going and giving us a lot of information. What is this virus all about? how do we contract it? But this outbreak would allow us to reflect upon it spiritually. For this will enable us to understand what is the will of God behind this outbreak or behind this pandemic. Pestilence comes in different ways. Each time a pestilence occurs, the scientists would develop a new vaccine for it. And once a new vaccine has been developed, we know that the pestilence is about to come to an end. But how can we solve the problem of this pandemic? So we have to view this from the perspective of the Bible. But before we proceed, we shall see the first point. What is the reason of this pestilence? If we all in all, we see in the Bible, it is due to sin. The first occurrence of pestilence was upon the animals in Egypt. Because at that time, the ruler of Egypt, the Pharaoh, refused to let the people of Israel go out of Egypt. And the second occurrence of the pestilence was during the rebellion of Korah, where they rebelled against the workers of God, and the pestilence destroyed those who were not favorable to the Lord God. And the third occurrence was in the place called Shittim. And the fourth was when David took a census of the people. And this is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And the fifth was in the four severe judgments of God when the people invited other gods into their hearts. This is recorded in the book of Ezekiel. And if we were to see all these five occurrences, all this was because of sin. And actually, God had already given us a solution on how to solve this problem. Now let's turn to 2 Chronicles. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 11 to 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 11 to 14. Verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So here we can see that at that time our Lord God appeared to Solomon in a dream. So we take note of verse 13. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. So here it says God sent this pestilence. But in verse 14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So here it says, if my people, they were the people of God, if they call upon the name of the Lord, they pray and seek the face of the Lord, turn from their wicked ways, then the Lord will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal. So this is a basic solution of the pestilence. And as we all know, the word of God, as recorded in Psalms 119, verse 89 tells us. Psalms 119, verse 89 tells us very clearly that the word of God is firmly fixed in heaven. It is forever. Therefore, the words of God is effective even until today. That for the people to turn back and seek God, that is not easy. It wasn't that God was not willing to heal this land, but rather the people were not willing to repent and change. Therefore, the pestilence will continue. But in the New Testament, this pestilence now has become a sign of the end times. Let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Gospel according to Luke chapter 21. Let's see verse 10 and 11. Luke chapter 21 verses 10 and 11. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Verse 11. "There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." So here it tells us pestilence is actually to remind us that the end time is indeed near. So therefore, we all the more need to be watchful and to prepare ourselves. This pestilence is actually a loving reminder from our Lord God, lest when He comes, we are not prepared or we are not ready. So today, dear brothers and sisters, now as we face this pestilence, what is the most important thing? So there's a difference between one who believes and one who do not believe. Now the government has given us a rule, that is, we are all now under this movement control order, even if whether is it a conditional movement control order, CMCO, or a movement control order, MCO, lockdown, circuit breaker, all of us, we can see our movements have been restricted, lest we be infected by this COVID-19 virus. But if we look in the experience of Paul, he was not imprisoned in the house, but rather he was imprisoned in the prison. Of course, being confined in the prison was even more terrifying than to be confined at home. For the ultimate aim of being confined in the prison is ultimately the punishment of death. That death can be very real. But how did Paul face his situation in the prison? This is the main point of how are we to face this pestilence. So if we were to look into the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So for Paul, he had mentioned, "For to me to live is Christ." So Paul had an abundant life. He lived out completely the life of Christ. Even though the prison was a bad place to be in, as we have read in the book of Philippians, but yet, if we read carefully this epistle of Paul that he wrote to the Philippians when he was in prison, we have received a lot of encouragement and comfort. So if this pandemic or this pestilence is to tell us that our lives is coming to an end soon, so how then can we examine ourselves? We are to examine ourselves whether we have this abundant life in us or not. If we have this abundant life of Christ in us, then we would not be very much bothered about this pestilence. If not, we should start to pursue this abundant life. So Paul also tells us, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So here it tells us, pestilence is one of these all things. Therefore, if we love God, we shall also receive His benefit. And as Jesus has said, if you love me, you will observe my commandments. Therefore, if we are able to examine ourselves and to adjust our lives, then our life will become more abundant if we keep His commandments. Then we are edified and we would be able to receive His benefit. So therefore, before and after this outbreak, what is the difference? If we can grow and adjust ourselves and also adjust our lives, then this outbreak in turn will be an opportunity for us. Spiritual life is something unseen, cannot be seen with our naked eyes. But how can we know it is abundant? How did Paul manifest this abundant life while he was in the prison? So this evening, we shall study from the book of Philippians to reflect upon this matter. And this can also be likened to a mirror to reflect ourselves. If we are just like Paul, or even able to follow him, then we will also be able to enjoy this abundant life. If not, then we have to start to pursue it. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, let's see verse 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. So Philippian church, the church in Philippi, was one of the church that was established by Paul in his missionary journey. And towards the end of his missionary journey, he wrote this epistle to them. Time had long passed, and space, he was rather far from them. He was also away from them. But here, Paul thanked God in his remembrance of them. So Paul, at that time, he prayed for them with all joy. We can see that Paul actually longed for the believers in Philippi. So why did he long for them? Why did he pray for them? Let's see chapter 1, verse 8. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So with the affection of Christ Jesus, Paul actually longed for them. It has already been coming to 2 months. We are not able to go to church for service. How do we feel? If we long for our believers, and upon seeing them, if we feel joyful, then we have the affection of Christ in us. We have heard of many of our brothers and sisters, when we make a telephone call out of concern for them, many a times, or many times, We have heard them saying, when is the time are we able to go back to the church? We really long to return to the house of God, to have fellowship with our brethren, to enjoy the times, the wonderful times of fellowship in prayer, in serving, in listening to the Word of God. Recently, there was a group of believers who, when they heard a telephone call of concern from a person in charge of the church, asking how are they doing during this present pandemic period, some of the members shed tears and told this person in charge, saying that, how, when can we come back to the church? We really miss the church. We really miss the house of God. So, of course, the life of Christ is indeed growing in us. That's why we long to see our brothers and sisters once again. We also long for the time to return back to the house of God. But if we have no feelings at all after being absent from the church for a period of time, then the life of Christ is not or has not grown within us. Then when we go to church, it is only out of our duty, out of our obligation. It becomes a routine only, in that it does not come with love. Therefore today, we can see, especially after this period, that now we are all facing more and more challenges of our faith. So in the face of these challenges that we face, definitely we realize that these challenges is getting more and more. So as a result of this movement control order, we can see there are two types of situations that one will face. So this will give rise for us to think. Firstly, we will feel that it's not bad to continue to stay at home. No need to go to church physically. So slowly, slowly, we lose the habit of coming to church. And as a result, we become lukewarm in our faith. And secondly, some may feel that it is so precious to be able to come to church. So this pandemic, or this COVID-19 pestilence, is just a beginning of tribulation. Hence, brothers and sisters, we need to be more vigilant in faith. And we thank God, after this is over, some may be able to wake up from their present state of faith or from their previous state of faith. Therefore, we should have this heart. We should have the heart to long for the church, to long for our brothers and sisters. And coming back to Philippians, so therefore we can see abundant life actually means we love God, we love the church, we yearn for the church, we yearn for the Lord God. So today we thank God when we are able to see our brothers and sisters online, we are filled with joy. And this shows that the love of Christ is deep within us. Even though we are not able to meet with one another physically, but at least through the net, through virtual, we can still see each other. Let's come back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. So here it says, Paul often prayed for them. So let us consider a question. Have we ever prayed for the church during this period of time, during this period of the CMCO period? Have we prayed for the believers, our friends, and even the works of the church? Or are we just pray for ourselves. With the love of Christ, we would care for the church. For our family is likened to a small church. We have heard of a testimony of a late elder. When he came to his last few years of his life, even though in his movements he was not so mobile anymore because of his ailments, but he still continued to pray at least 5 to 6 times a day. Many people will ask, "How long do you pray, elder?" He says, "I don't just pray for 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, but rather every prayer of mine is at least half an hour." So upon hearing this, some continue to ask him, "So actually, who are you praying for?" Some may even say, "Yeah, you're so free, you can't go anywhere. So you will definitely have all the time in the world to pray." So this elder replied, "Yeah, I pray for my family. I pray for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Not forgetting, I also pray for the church. I pray for the workers of God. I pray for the friends and relatives. I pray for the work of the church. I pray for those who are in need, whether in their physical or in their spiritual. I pray for them." And all this is done out of love for the brothers and sisters. So indeed, this elder has left behind a very good example in our lives today. So coming back to just now, we mentioned that our family is also likened to a small church, especially during this period of the pandemic. We have heard reports of domestic violence and even divorce have increased during this period of time. Why? Because the family members have more time. If the family does not have the love of Christ, and all of them have different traits and personalities, so all these differences would actually create conflict among us. But with the love of Christ within our family members, together, then we will be able to have it. We will cherish this time, for this is a blessing. Previously, we are all busy with our works. We do not have much time to spend with our beloved family. But now, because of this MCO, we all the more have more time to spend with our family. So at that time, we can see that Paul misses the believers and prays for them. So this is the first point of how Paul regarded this as his abundant life, where he misses the believers and he prays for them during this period. Secondly, if we live for the members, if we live for the members. If we die, we return to God. That's why Paul at that time mentioned, let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. "I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. 24. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account." Verse 25. "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." So here Paul mentioned that he was hard-pressed between the two, meaning this reflected his spirituality. And what is this? What is this dilemma? He didn't even know. To live is better or to die is better. Actually, Paul, this person, had been to the third heaven. He had seen, he had experienced the beauty of heaven. Therefore, he was able to know that death was far better. Let's use this to reflect ourselves. We know that the people of this world, especially, they are extremely fearful of death. And some, when talking about this COVID-19 themselves, of this virus, they become so fearful. Therefore, when we face this virus, when we face it and we are fearful, this reflects that within us, we still lack this life. Why are we fearful? Now we stay at home. We practice social distancing. And we can see more and more patients, of the infected patients, more than 70% have recovered. And the death rate of this pandemic, even if we look into the reports that is given by the government daily, is not high. Therefore, just like if one is infected, just like the blind man, some people ask Jesus about this blind man. Was this sickness due to his own sins? Or is it his parents had sinned? What did Jesus reply? It was for the glory of man that this man was infected. We have members who love us and will intercede for us. In this way, we can see that the glory of God will be manifested in us. Many are infected, but through prayer, they have recovered. This is the glory of God. But even though through prayer, they do not recover. We, and at the end, even if we have contracted, we return to God, even this is far better. So if our ultimate goal is to return to Him, so why are we so fearful of death then? If we are fearful, this shows that we lack this abundant life in us. If we have this abundant life in us, we are not fearful of death. And in verse 24, Paul here specially mentioned, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. On your account. You, that is the members of the church. And Paul knew that if his ministry was not completed, he would not die. We have heard or we have seen this testimony of a preacher, of a trainee preacher when he was undergoing his training. So on one occasion, just before the service, he decided to go out of the seminary building, out of the church, to pick up one of his relatives to attend the evening service. For his relative was not a member of the true church. So as he went out to pick up the relative, actually the distance is very near, probably around 10 to 15 minutes of a ride. But upon his return, our dear preacher, our dear beloved preacher, met an accident. So later, during the service, halfway through the service, the passerbys who saw the preacher falling onto the roadside, so they managed to find some identification papers upon him. So they saw that he belonged to the True Jesus Church. So it immediately alerted and they went to the nearest church in which the name card was stated where this preacher was. And they informed the receptionist outside the church, saying that so-and-so, is he a member or is he known to you all? So he was known. So later it was informed to the service leader that the preacher had met an accident. And this accident was rather bad in the sense that he suffered a minor concussion and also some, we thank God, some physical bruises at the back of his body because of the impact of the car that hit directly behind his back. So after the service was over, many of our members, of his co-workers, went up to the prayer room to intercede for him. And after the prayer, some even went to the hospital to visit this preacher. And at that time, the wife of the preacher, of course, was immediately notified about what had happened.
to the preacher, her husband. So she went and told to visit the husband immediately at the hospital. And upon reaching the hospital, thank God, the preacher was still alert. Of course, there was some lapse of his memory, but we thank God, God preserved him. And at that time, he asked some of his fellow friends, his co-workers, have I done? Have you brought the assignments that was given by the lecturers this morning? Did you bring it to me? So at that time, the wife told him, my dear husband, you can't go yet. Your time is not up. You have not finished the work. So wait the Lord for the Lord. You have to finish your work, only you can return home. So this is a very wonderful testimony that if you have not, just like Paul, he knew that if his ministry had not completed, was not completed, he would not just easily leave this world. So this should be also our pursuit today. One may say it is difficult. This is because our lives is not abundant. If it is abundant, then this is not difficult. But Paul was able to do it. If we are able to imitate him, just as he imitated Christ, then during this pandemic, if we are able to quieten ourselves, to rest ourselves, then this is the glory of God. Therefore, today, we have to manifest this spiritual life in us as well. And then thirdly, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So here Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. So Paul at that time wrote this epistle in the prison. If we are able to manifest joy during this period of the pandemic, then this is a manifestation of abundant life. We have a lot of worry and anxiety, not just like during this period of time. We are worried, are we going to be laid off? Then what can we do? But Paul here tells us that we are to rejoice always. So in order to rejoice always, Paul continued to tell us what is required of us. Let's see Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here, to rejoice always. So Paul here tells us that it requires us to entrust all things to the Lord. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be able to preserve us, will be able to guard our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus. So in this period of the pandemic, if we are able to entrust all things, then this is a manifestation of abundant life. So we continue to see the situation of Paul. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. Not that Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Verse 12. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So, regardless of what situations we are in, we are not fearful. Then Paul tells us of his experience further. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So, this was the experience of Paul. So, during this time, we need to rely upon God so that we will be able to manifest the glory of God. And in during this time, we also, as in our abundant life, let us examine our faith, whether we are able to receive this benefit or not. So that is why we need to discern the time, for the time is near. And as we examine ourselves, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, so that through this pandemic, this period, we will be able to receive benefit out of it. So we pray that Lord Jesus Christ will be able to help us all as we face it. So our short encouragement this evening shall end here. We shall sing our concluding hymn. We shall sing our concluding hymn. Sing hymn. Let's sing hymn 85. Sing hymn, 87. Let's sing hymn 87. Sing hymn 87. There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the sinners and the sinners and crooked right and left, are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by. His brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? We give thanks to our Lord Jesus. Now we shall say our prayer. So in our prayer, we continue to ask our Lord Jesus Christ to preserve and protect each and every one of us. And in our prayer, we also remember to pray for our brothers and sisters, our friends and relatives, those who are not feeling well, whether physically or spiritually. At the same time, we also pray for the church, and we also pray for our nation. Let us now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Or Thank our Lord Jesus Christ, our service shall end here. All glory to his name. Amen.